Assalamu alaikum. Ahnaf, are we ready to in the class setup?
Hi, Islam. Yeah, we're ready basically, inshallah.
Okay, mashallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tama'ninatan lil qulub wa jila'an laha 'ala raynid dhunub wa mataratan li waswasil khannasil makdub wa salatu wa salamu 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin ad-da'i ila kulli fi'lin mahbub wa amrin matlub. وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون وقال تعالى قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. Welcome to our 15th session in our series studying Imam Ghazali's teachings on sincerity, intentions, and verbal habit. In our last session, we talked about the need for balance, the need for balance between hope and fear, and that strong hope is that hope which is rooted in love. And as Muslims, we need our hope for reward in sincerity to be rooted in the love for Allah. Our discussion revolved around the five questions: what is love? What do we instinctively love? How do we fall in love? What are the reasons for love? And on a scale of priority, who is the most deserving of our love? Now, in answer to the first question, what is love and attachment, we reflected on the fact that on account of limited vocabulary and excessive indulgence in our world today, conceptions of love are misplaced and as in the example we pondered, where young people are in love and being more attached to devices than they are to other human beings in their lives. We also looked at the rich vocabulary of love in Arabic and its arrangement into 10 degrees of intensity. First, the alaqa, which is the special kind of attachment, then irada, the will and pursuance of that attachment, then the sababa, which is the warming of the attachment and turning into deep love, and then gharam, locked into attachment, then wud, purity in love, then shagaf, love extending to the extremities of the heart, and then ishq, love that overpowers the individual, and then taim, which is the captive love, and ta'abbud, which is the slave to love, and finally al-khullatu, which was where there is no space left in the heart for the love of anything else. We reflected on the word abd, also as slave, described here as the ninth degree of love. And in that, we see that it is a far cry from our popular mental simulations of the word, of images attached to the word abd. In this one, we can conceive something pleasant and desirable for our soul in the word abd as the ninth degree of love. Also, in pondering the text about love, there were 10 broad points that emerged. The first was that there could be no love without familiarity. لا يحب الإنسان ما لا يعرف. You cannot love that which you do not know. So that was the first point. The second point was that things we perceive fall into three broad categories: those that are pleasing, those that are displeasing, and those that are neutral. Number three was that we are predisposed to loving things that are pleasing and comforting, and we are also predisposed to loathing or disliking things that cause pain. And there is, of course, a way to comprehend pain and the presence of pain. For this, I want to give you a bite-sized reflection on the presence of pain, because this is a question that we often face. People come up and ask, why is there pain in the world? This is a question that is posed to people of faith. And so our answer to this in a bite size is that if there were no pain in the world, what would you imagine would happen? If all the pain receptors were taken away, what would happen? Well, for a start, we would chew and swallow our tongues every time we eat, because we would not be able to distinguish between our tongue and a piece of meat in our mouth. The pain receptors in our bodies are, in fact, an alarm system placed in us by Allah to warn us of when something is wrong. It is there to warn the system to react, to do something about it. He has created with these nociceptors, which are these free bare endings of nerve endings in the skin, in the muscle, in the joints, in the bone, and also in the visceral organs in the cavity of the body. And there's these, they're there for one purpose, and that purpose is to warn us and to warn the brain, to set off the emergency. It's an alarm that goes off when something is wrong and something needs to be done about it. For example, the skin is the first line of defense against harmful bodies, harmful organisms entering into your body. The skin is the first line of defense. Now, when that pain alarm in the skin fails, the body is easily invaded. And if you look at the way amputation is done for people with diabetes, they have their legs amputated without anesthetic. And the reason for that is that these pain receptors in there, we have around 200 pain receptors in every square centimeter of our skin. And in diabetes, when we have prolonged diabetes these receptors are damaged, then for them, cutting the leg is like cutting a piece of cardboard. So pain and pain receptors are part of an alarm system that is indeed a blessing in disguise, built into us by Allah to protect us. Even psychogenic pain comes back to these physical mechanisms of alarm that Allah has put in us so that we can recognize something is wrong. Now, take away all the pain receptors from the human body in the world, and the harm will be unimaginable. So, yeah, that's your bite size for this. Keep that thought in mind the next time you're questioned about why is there pain in the world? Well, what would be the alternative? Number four was that what is meant by love? We learned that it was mail al-tab' ila shay'in mulid. It's an inclined disposition towards something through which joy and comfort is obtained. But that's just the beginning. That's the overall. But then when you follow it, it has much deeper meanings. Now, how does this compare with modern conceptions of love? What we discussed, if we were to compare that with modern conceptions of love, we'll find that the modern conceptions of love are somewhat muddled and can be confusing because of a heavy fixation on passionate love, on erotic love. In fact, although love is considered a basic human emotion, the understanding of how and why it happens is often muddled in the theories, or just simply dismissed on grounds of being too primal or mysterious to be understood. Psychologists, of course, have various theories, such as the triangular theory of love and the color wheel model and the liking and loving. But in all of these, what we find is that there is a fixation on passionate and erotic love, and that often limits the grasp of it. The grasping and to truly understand, because of the way in which we use language about love in general. Now, take one example. Take the word making. Up until the 1940s, the word making, when attached to the word love, meant showing attention to someone. That's what it meant, or courting someone. That's all it meant. But now in our language, due to sexualization of so many aspects of our lives, today that construct is completely restricted to only one particular meaning, only to a carnal denotation. You couldn't use that now in that sense, in the sense of showing attention. Even though if you look at literature and poetry just a few decades ago, you will find that this construct is employed in the meaning of showing attention to someone. And now it has completely, it's become completely restricted to only the meaning, one meaning alone. And yes, indeed, that in that meaning is an expression of love. It is an expression of love, but not all of it. And that is not the only form of making of it. And that is the problem. Here is the problem. Our language gets more and more, as it gets more and more focused and restricted to narrow carnal desires, then that restricts our ability to envisage, to grasp the full meaning of it, which of course is due to, in our day, it is due to the pernicious influence, this ubiquitous and pernicious influence of the outrageous theories of Freud. And because of this, we are losing our ability to appreciate the nuances of our emotions about about ourselves and also about the world around us. And as you can see here, the changes in our verbal habits of this sort can result in a restriction of our ability to conceptualize and appreciate the full meaning of love. Language, you should know, and this is why we've added verbal habits to the title of this series, is that language plays a major role in the way we perceive and think about the world around us. And let me give you another bite size about language and the effect it has on you, on your ability to perceive things in the world and concrete things. If you do not have a word for a particular spectrum of color in your language, you will find it hard to see that color. In Polish, there is a word for the color blue. It's sini. And then they also have another word for light blue, and which is distinct. They have sini and they have niebieski. And these are two distinct independent colors in Polish. And it is in Russian and Hungarian as well. It's in that part of the world. Is that they distinguish between blue and light blue with two as they see it as two different colors. So if you show a Polish speaker a spectrum of blue and light blue squares, they will distinguish more varieties of color than an English speaker will be able to do. English speakers will not be able to see the full variety because of our language. English has not trained our brains to see that, so we wouldn't be able to do so. We wouldn't be able to see the full variety of colors in there, whereas the Polish person will see two distinct colors and will be able to use a qualifier for each independent color. And don't be confused, we are using this qualifier light for light blue. So they have sini and niebieski. Niebieski is what we would call light blue, but that's a distinct color for them. So this qualifier that we are using as light, we are saying light blue, the Polish person will come along and put a qualifier on niebieski. He will say, siemno niebieski, which if we were to translate that, that would be dark light blue. And if you show, he will show you the two different colors, and he will say, look, this is niebieski and this is siemno niebieski, and we will see this both, that there's no difference between the two. And that has to do with language, that it's translated through how we were trained to see things with the labels we are given. So language plays a major role in the way we perceive phenomenon in our world. And if the word we use for love is gradually being reduced to just one form of conception, as we saw happened, when used in combination with this word of with another word, with making, then this has tremendous consequences for our understanding of love in general. And this is why I say that even if we cannot learn to speak Arabic, and I think everyone should have an intention to learn Arabic and to learn these sciences. This is part and parcel of our culture, part and parcel of our culture. So we should have an intention and try. But if you cannot, then at least you should try to enrich your vocabulary, the English vocabulary, with Arabic terminology. Use Arabic terminology. And this is not some new, funky, you know, revolutionary new idea. Just look at the hard sciences and you will find an abundance of Arabic terms from astronomy to mathematics and beyond. Algebra is from algebra. And in fact, there are approximately 1,000 Arabic loan words in English. So adding a few more to help you steer your life in the right direction is not too much to ask. And this is why I insist that we use terms like riya and khumul and ikhlas and niya when we're talking about these things, so that they don't, so that we will not become trapped, and these can become part of our day-to-day vocabulary. And in so doing, save us from having to deal with the baggage of other terms where the consequences are potentially dangerous. Nowadays, many marriages are failing. They're falling apart because of misconstrued notions of love. People go into love and have completely bizarre ideas of what love is. People need a new source of vocabulary that is not susceptible to the kind of linguistic drift such as we are experiencing with modern English today, where only amatory meanings and postmodernist deconstructions are allowed. But this is a whole other topic for another time. But here, to come back to our topic, Imam Ghazali's explanation of love, though in the first instance it might seem simplistic, but if you follow the discussion through to its conclusion, you will find that it is not only deep and comprehensive, but it is also a source of release. It's a source of, it grants you escape from that narrow confine of modern conception of the word love. Harith al-Muhasibi summarizes what is meant in the Islamic conception of love beautifully here. And I'm going to read that. I'll read the English alone. Time, okay. He says, love is to incline to a thing with your whole being, and then to prefer it over your own soul, your spirit, and your own property. Then to be in a harmonious accord with it inwardly and outwardly, and then to know that even after all of this, you are still deficient in your love for it. I'll repeat that. Love is to incline to a thing with your whole being, then to prefer it over your own soul, your own spirit, and your own property, and then to be in a harmonious accord with it inwardly and outwardly, and then to know that even after all of this, you are still deficient in your love for it. In other words, always seeking to be more in love with the object of your love. Whereas in the modern conception, love is often muddled with transactional conceptions where we're in love with someone, but we expect them to behave and act only in accordance with our wishes. Whereas in true love, it is the reverse of that. You are the one who becomes the captive. You're the one who becomes the follower, and you're the one who starts to feel obliged to follow and fulfill every wish and command of your beloved. You know, there's a story the story of Qais, Layla and Qais, Layla and Majnu. And some of the scholars quote this story for focus. He saw the dog from the village of Layla, and he started following it. And it so happened that the dog walked through the forest and some people were praying, and he walked across their prayer mat. And later on, the people caught up with him in the journey and they asked him, they said, look, we were praying and you walked straight across the prayer mat. Didn't you see us? And he asked them, were you involved in the praises and thinking about your beloved Allah? Were you? And he said, yes. They said, of course, we were praying to Allah. And he said, well, I was following the dog from the village of my beloved, and I swear by Allah, I did not see you, but you saw me. So the moral of the story was that, of course, when in pursuit of the beloved one, develops tunnel vision, doesn't see anything else. And that's the kind of aspiration we should have for our love with Allah, that it completely encapsulates us. Not that we go walking in front of people when they're praying, as we shouldn't. There is exhortation about avoiding this, but the moral here is that to have that this is something in the heart. Okay, now number five is that each of the five senses have their own pathways to love through the things we enjoy. Our sight enjoys seeing beautiful images. Our ears enjoy listening to beautiful voices and harmonious sounds. Our tongue enjoys tasting delicious food. And we like to touch smooth and soft things. Number six was that there is a sixth sense of pleasure located in the heart. That is not the five, a sixth sense, as in the pleasure we get from prayer. لا يدركه إلا من كان له قلب. That only the one who has a sound heart, who has a heart that is free from corrupting influences, will taste and enjoy that. So there's an internal joy to be gained. Number seven was that human beings primarily love themselves. They love themselves and they love things that are connected to that, like love of the perfection of themselves, love of the continuity of existence of themselves. And that is, of course, the first reason for love, the love of the self. The second reason for love is kindness. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ عَبْدُ الْإِحْسَانِ that the human being is a slave to kindness, which is natural and automatic. You cannot help loving people who are kind to you. Number nine was that the third reason for love is the beauty we perceive in things themselves. As a rose, such as a rose, the love we have for a rose is for its own beauty. And here we are reminded also and told in the hadith that إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, that Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. And so that alone should be sufficient reason for loving Allah. And then finally, number 10 was that, and which is further to the 11th point, the 10th point was that we should love ourselves, that if we love ourselves and love the continuity of ourselves and love the perfection of ourselves, then by a greater degree of necessity, we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because anyone who knows himself and knows Allah will know surely that he or she does not exist by themselves. But they exist only by the will of Allah. We did not submit an application to come into existence. It is Allah who brought us out of non-existence into existence. Allah says in the Quran, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not been over mankind, over man, a long period when he was nothing? لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا. He was nothing. And not even mentioned. Not even mention Mazkura. So we will read now part of that. Okay, 388. Let's complete that page. Yeah, so in emphasizing that, we're being told here that عرف قطعا أنه لا وجود له إنما وجوده وجود ذاته ودوامه ووجوده وكمال وجوده من الله وبالله وإلى الله. That his existence, the continuity of his existence and the perfection of his existence is with Allah. It is from Allah, it is with Allah, and it is to Allah. فهو المخترع الموجد له. الموجد له. That he is the one initiator of the one that brought him into existence. That Allah is the one, wa huwa al-mubqi, and he is the one who preserves him. Wa huwa al-mukammil liwujudihi, and he is the one who will complete your existence. Bi khalqi sifati al-kamal, by creating these characteristics for perfection. Wa khalqi al-asbab al-musilati ilayh, and he has created the means through which your existence and the continuity of your existence will happen. Wa khalqi al-hidayati ila isti'mal al-asbab, and then creating guidance towards the use, towards the exploitation, towards the exploiting these means. Wa illa, and were this not to be the case, فَالْعَبْدُ مِنْ حَيْثُ ذَاتِهِ لَا وُجُودَ لَهُ. So the person, from the perspective of his own self, has no existence. ولا وجود له من ذاته. He has, بل هو مح بل هو محو محض وعدم صرف. That he is complete, he is erased, he is completely erased from existence, non-existent. لولا فضل الله عليه, لولا فضل الله تعالى عليه بالإيجاد. That if Allah did not bring him into existence, he is complete non-existence, as we read in the ayah. وهو هالك أقيب وجوده. And he will also, and even if he manages to come into existence, he will be, he would have been destroyed immediately after coming into existence. أقيب, that لولا فضل الله عليه بالإبقاء. Had it not been for the presence, had it not been for the presence of the bounty of Allah that caused him to survive and make him preserve his existence after coming into existence. وَهُوَ نَقِسٌ بَعْدَ الْوُجُودِ. And he is incomplete after coming into existence. لَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِالتَّكْمِيلِ لِخَلْقِهِ. And he is incomplete when he comes into existence, had Allah not perfected his completed his existence. وَبِالْجُمْلَةِ. And in summary, فَلَيْسَ فِي الْوُجُودِ شَيْءٌ لَهُ بِنَفْسِهِ قِوَامٌ إِلَّا الْقَيُّومُ الْحَيُّ الَّذِي هُوَ قَائِمٌ بِذَاتِهِ. That there is nothing in existence that is in existence of its own, in of its own self, except with the sustainer of existence, Al-Qayyum, the name of Allah, Al-Qayyum, the sustainer of all existence, Al-Hayyu الَّذِي هُوَ قَائِمٌ بِذَاتِهِ. The ever alive, the ever living, with which everything depends, upon which everything depends. وَكُلُّ مَا سِوَاهُ قَائِمٌ بِهِ. And everything other than him, it depends upon him. فَإِنْ أَحَبَّ الْعَارِفُ ذَاتَهُ فَإِنْ أَحَبَّ الْعَارِفُ ذَاتَهُ وَذَاتَ وُجُودِهِ ذَاتَهُ وَوُجُودِهِ وَوُجُودِ ذَاتِهِ مُسْتَفَادٌ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. That he, فَبِالضَّرُورَةِ يُحِبُّ الْمُفِيدَ لِوُجُودِهِ وَالْمُدِيمَ لَهُ. That when you love yourself, if someone knows themselves and they love themselves, then they will by necessity have to love the one with whom their existence depends, the one upon whom their existence depends, and the one upon whom the continuity of their existence depends. وَإِنْ عَرَفَهُ خَالِقًا مُوجِدًا وَمُخْتَرِعًا مُبْقِيًا وَقَيُّومًا بِنَفْسِهِ وَمُقَوِّيًا غَيْرِهِ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ فَهُوَ لِجَالِهِ. That if he realizes, when we have internalized this fact that it is with Allah that has brought us into existence, we are preserving of our existence, and we cannot exist without him. And if we do not love Allah for this, then that will be only due to our ignorance of Allah and ignorance of ourselves, ignorance of the true nature of ourselves and the ignorance of Allah. Well, mahabbatu thamratul ma'rifah. And as we said in the beginning, that mahabba, that love, is the fruit of knowledge. You have to know. تَنْعَدِمُ بِعِنْعِدَامِهَا. And that if your knowledge goes, then if your knowledge is weak, if your knowledge dissipates, and so will your love. And if it's weakened, so will your love. And if it is strengthened, so will your love. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِي. And Hasan al-Basri, رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, says, مَنْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ أَحَبَّهُ. That whoever recognizes Allah, who knows Allah, then he will by necessity love him. He will love him. مَنْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ أَحَبَّهُ وَمَنْ عَرَفَ الدُّنْيَا زَهِدَ فِيهَا. And whoever really realizes or understands the true nature of this world, then he will be disinclined from it. Okay, so now we will go back to dealing with the reasons of love. Right. Okay. So we also read that we love things because they are beloved. That we love. We fall in love with things because of the beauty inherent in them. So what is the meaning of beauty in our understanding? Well, what is inherent in things that make them beautiful? He said, أَنَّ الْمَحْبُوسِ فِي مُضِيقِ الْخِيَالَاتِ وَالْمَحْسُوسَاتِ رُبَّمَا وَالْمَحْسُوسَاتِ excuse me, ربما يظن أنه لا معنى للحسن للحسن something that is معنى الحسن والجمال that لا معنى للحسن والجمال إلا تناسب الخلقة والشكل. And this comes back to the discussion we had last term about the visual nature of our culture, the culture in which we have, that we focus heavily on the external, on the forms, on the shape of show. And this is why the preponderance of our tendency to want to show, because we have a heavy focus on the external form. So he's saying here that and that the if you la ma'na lil hasan wal al husn wal jamal illa tanasub al khalq, that only the external forms, that there is no beauty except the what the senses can perceive, the external self. Wa husn al lawn, the beauty of that is apprehended from colors and from shapes and from images. وامتداد القامة وإلى غير ذلك ما يوصف بجمال الشخص بجمال شخص الإنسان. And from the characteristic that you look for, the beauty of a human being. And he's saying فإن الحسن الأغلب على الخلق حسن الأبصار. So the beauty of the eye is the thing is the dominant one. وأكثر التفاتهم إلى صور الأشخاص فيظن. And because people generally look at beautiful things and they are the source through which we apprehend beauty is through the eyes, we فليظن أن ما ليس مبصرا ولا متخيلا متشكلا ولا متلونا متقدرا ولا يصور ولا يتصور حسنه فلا يتصور حسنه. That something that is not apprehended with the eye or imagined, that is arranged in these shapes and in these colors or in these imagined colors, then it cannot be beautiful. And he said, وَإِذْ لَمْ يُتَصَوَّرْ حُسْنُهُ, that you cannot imagine that something can be beautiful. لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي إِدْرَاكِهِ لَذَّةٌ, because that there will be no joy in such a thing. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ مَحْبُوبًا, and then it will not be beloved. وَهَذَا خَطَأٌ ظَاهِرٌ, and this is a clear mistake. فَإِنَّ الْحُسْنَ لَيْسَ مَقْصُورًا عَلَى مُدْرِكَاتِ الْبَصَرِ. And this is what he's saying that beauty is not limited to the perceptibles of the eye, things that are perceptible to the eye alone. That's not so. He said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْحُسْنَ وَالْجَمَالِ مَوْجُودٌ فِي غَيْرِ الْمَحْسُوسَاتِ. That beauty and nice things are also present in things that are not apprehended directly by the senses. Is يُقَالُ هَذَا خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ, just as you say that this is good character. وَهَذَا عِلْمٌ حَسَنٌ, and that this is good knowledge. وَهَذَا سِيرَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, this is a good biography. وَهَذِي أَخْلَاقٌ جَمِيلَةٌ, and these are good characteristics. وإنما الأخلاق الجميلة يراد بها, and verily a good conduct, good characteristic, good character is by that is intended العلم والعقل والعفة والشجاعة والتقوى والكرم والمروءة وسائر خلال الخير. That when you say a person has good character, you're talking about knowledge, you're talking about intellect, chastity, courage, God consciousness, kindness, chivalry, and all the good qualities. وَشَيْءٌ مِنْ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ لَا يُدْرِكُ بِالْحَوَاسِ, and one of these things is not necessarily apprehended directly by the senses. بَلْ يُدْرِكُ بِنُورِ الْبَصِيرَةِ الْبَاطِنَةِ, it is apprehended through something inside, a nur, a light, an internal light, basira, which is in insight, perspicacity. And وكل هذه الخصال الجميلة محبوبا, and all of these are beautiful. والموصوف بها محبوب بالطبع عند من عرف صفاته عند من عرف صفاته. That people who have these qualities are beloved to anyone who recognizes them, who recognizes these qualities. وآية ذلك أن الأمر كذلك, and one of the signs of this is that أن الطباع مجبولة على حب الأنبياء, that the disposition, that the natural disposition of people is to love prophets, صلوات الله عليهم, to love prophets, وعلى حب الصحابة, and to love Muslims, we love the صحابة رضي الله عنهم, مع أنهم لم يشاهدوهم, in spite of us never seeing them, We've never seen the prophets. We've never seen the Sahaba, but we love them. بل على حب أرباب المذاهب, and we love the, and there are people who love the leaders of the madhabs, the مثل الشافعي, the scholars of the مثل الشافعي وأبي حنيفة ومالك وغيرهم. He said that we love them. حتى إن الرجل قد يجاوز به حبه لصاحب مذهب. And he said the people may go into excess and go into extreme over their love and for people of the madhab. وليت شعري من يحب الشافعي مثلا فلما يحبه. So I'd like to know, he's putting this in form of a question. He said ليت شعري من يحب, or in astonishment, من يحب الشافعي, the person who loves Imam Shafi'i مثلا فلما يحبه, well, why does he love him? ولم يشاهده قط صورته, ولم يشاهد صورته قط, that he has never seen his picture. He never seen Imam Shafi'i's picture, but he loves Imam Shafi'i. وَلَوْ شَاهَدَهُ رُبَّمَا لَمْ يُسْتَحْسِنُ لَمْ يَسْتَحْسِنُ لَمْ يَسْتَحْسِنُ صُورَتَهُ. That, and it is possible that he might, if even if he sees the picture, he might not think it as beautiful. But he loves him. فَاسْتِحْسَانُهُ الَّذِي فَالْإِحْتِسْتِحْسَانُهُ الَّذِي حَمَلَهُ عَلَى الْإِفْرَاطِ الْحُبِّ هُوَ لِصُورَةِ الْبَاطِنَةِ. So his apprehending, his giving love, featuring his apprehension of love, his conception of love for Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, and excelling in the love for that, for Imam Shafi'i, is on the basis of an internal image of something deep inside. لَا لِصُورَتِهِ الظَّاهِرَةِ, not for his external form. فَإِنَّ صُورَتَهُ الظَّاهِرَةِ قَدْ انْفَلَتْ. Look, that's all gone into the grave. وإنما يحبه لصفاته الباطنة, that he loves him, that the love is based on internal characteristics. من الدين, from deen والتقوى وغزارة العلم, that deen and his God consciousness, وغزارة العلم and the depth of his knowledge, وإحاطة بمدارك الدين والإحاطة and his vast grasp of the deen, وانتهاضه لإفاضة العلم and his efforts to spread the deen, ونشره لهذه الخيرات في العالم, spreading it all over the world. وهذه أمور جميلة لا يدركه جمال لا يدرك جمالها إلا بنور البصيرة. And this beauty is not recognized except through an internal perspicacity and an insight, an internal insight. فأما الحواس, the direct senses are not related to this. وكذلك من يحب أبا بكر رضي الله عنه. And so it is for the one who loves Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه ويفضله على غيره and prefers him over others. أو من يحب عليا, أو those who love علي رضي الله عنه ويفضله ويتعصب له, and they are strict about in their obedience to him, in promoting him. فلا يحبهم إلا لإحسانهم للصورة. It's making the same knowledge, the same point about these Sahaba, that you're loving them for something deep inside, which is their knowledge, their deen, their taqwa, their shaja'a, their karam, and ghayrihim. فَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّ السِّدِّيقَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَثَلًا لَيْسَ يُحِبُّهُ لِلَحْمِهِ وَعَظَمِهِ وَجِلْدِهِ. That he doesn't love him, that the person who loves Abu Bakr رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he does not love him for the flesh of his body and his bones and his skin and his shape. إِذْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ. Okay. So the point here, بَلْ لَمَّا وَصَفَ النَّاسُ حَاتِمْ بِالسَّخَاء, that when people describe حَاتِمْ الطَّائِي, this was a very generous man, وَوَصَفُوهُ خَالِدًا بِالشَّجَاعَةِ, and they, وَوَصَفُوا خَالِدًا بِالشَّجَاعَةِ, and when they describe Khalid رضي الله عنه with courage, أحبتهم القلوب حبا ضروريا, that the love enters into the heart by degree of necessity, because of the description, because of the qualities they have. وليس ذلك من نظر إلى صورة محسوس, and not due to this visual representation, you know. And this also links back to what we say about today's world, is that people aren't even reading books and getting meanings. We want to see it all. We want to see pictures of it. And you should know that there's a strong restriction and a corruption. If you read a book and then see the movie, people talk about how it has destroyed their image of what they had in the book, because it's corrupted. It corrupts the power of your own imagination. Okay, so he's saying also that they love him not for for the vision, for the external form, and also not for something that they will gain from him. بل إذا حكي من سيرة بعض الملوك في بعض الأقطار الأرض العدل والإحسان وإفاضة الخير. If you come across the biographies of some pious or some generous king of the world who were just and who were kind and who did lots of good things, then the love of that king comes into your heart, even though you have nothing to gain from his kindness or nothing. But the fact of knowing that there's that someone has demonstrated kindness, غلب حبه على القلب مع اليأس من انتشار إحسانه إلى المحبين. لعدم المزار وتناعي الديار. It's so far away, you wouldn't be able to benefit from it. And in fact, there are some psychological studies that show this, that people's sense of well-being increases. They feel good when they hear that other people in different parts of the world are being helped. So you get a sense of a boost, a sense of goodwill and feeling, good feeling in your heart when you help people, when you see others help people, when people help you. But when you see others getting help also, it's the same as if you are helping. It creates a sensation of love and appreciation for it in your heart naturally. This has been confirmed by studies, psychological studies. فإذن ليس الحب الإنسان مقصور على من أحسن إليه. So it's not only who the love of the human being is not only is not dependent only is not limited to people who have done good to you. بل المحسن في نفسه. But the one who is kind in himself is also lovable. Kind people are loved in themselves, whether that love comes to you or not. So now. وإن كان لا ينتهي قط إلى إحسانه لأن كل جمال وحسن فهو لأن كل جمال وحسن فهو محبوب. That anything that is beautiful or kind is beloved, and so when a person is good, when a person does good, then that kindness, and according to some of the other manuscripts of this book, he's listed that as the fifth reason for love, but I've added that to, so it becomes five reasons, but in this text that I'm reading, it's only four. They've restricted it to four. The fourth reason for love is that there is al-munasiba, that there is a al-munasibatu al-khafiyyatu bayn al-muhibbi wal-mahbub, that there is some subtle connection between the lover and the loved, between the lover and the beloved. إذ رب شخصين تتأكد المحبة بينهما لا بسبب الجمال أو حظ. That there is no, people may fall in love even if there is no connection of beauty or anything to any exchange of kindness or exchange of favor. ولكن بمجرد تناسب الأرواح. Just that there is a connection, a subtle connection between the souls. And the way they explain this is كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that in hadith we are told that الأرواح جنود مجندة, that the souls are like martial soldiers. When you marshal soldiers, when soldiers are marshaled into lines, into فما تعارف منها ائتلف, that those that are close to each other and become familiarize themselves, and those that were distant remain distant. اختلف. And this is in relation to the ayah in the Quran where Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, that Allah took all the souls out of the backs of the children of Adam alayhi salam and stood them all up and had a conversation with them and took an oath. And he said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. They said, yeah, of course. Am I not your Lord? And he said, and then we all said, yes, of course you are our Lord. And this was an oath that Allah took in order to put the proof over us. So on the day of judgment, we will not be able to say, the ayah continues, it says, أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. So that you will not be able to say that you are unaware of this, because deep in your soul there's a connection, there's a record of that meeting with Allah. And that meeting not only with Allah, as he's saying here now, is that there's meeting of the souls of each other. So there's some connection. So when you meet somebody, immediately you feel that, oh, this person, I know this person, even though you've never met ever. So that is a subtle connection through which love can develop. So in conclusion, تَرْجِعُ أَقْسَامُ الْحُبِّ إِلَىٰ خَمْسَةِ أَسْبَابِ, that the types of love are, they fall into these five categories. وهو حب الإنسان وجوده وجود وجود نفسه وكماله وبقائه, that the love that he falls into, that he loves himself and he loves the existence of himself and he loves the completion of himself and the continuity of himself. That's the first. وحبه من أحسن إليه, and then the ones who are beloved to him, the ones who are kind to him, who show favor. وهو من أحسن إليه فيما يرجع إلى دوام وجوده, and this one returns back to his own existence, because kindness to you, you receiving favor, serves your own continuity, your own preservation. وَحُبُّهُ مَنْ كَانَ مُحْسِنًا, and loving those who are kind, who are فِي نَفْسِهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ, the people who are kind to people, that is also lovable. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُحْسِنْ إِلَيْهِ, even though the kindness is not towards him directly. وَحُبُّهُ لِكُلِّ مَا هُوَ جَمِيلٌ فِي ذَاتِهِ, and love of everything that is beloved, that is beautiful in itself. سواء كان من الصورة الظاهرة أو الباطنة, that anything that is beautiful, whether it is the external or the internal. So we have two conceptions of beauty. We have external beauty and internal beauty. وحبه لمن بينه وبينه مناسبة خفية في الباطن, and then love of the person with whom you have a subtle connection. فَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ, and now he asks the question. And here is where it gets deep. He says, فَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابُ فِي شَخْصٍ وَاحِدٍ. Now imagine if all these reasons for love, all these causes of love, were to be manifested in one person. فِي شَخْصٍ وَاحِدٍ تَضَاعَفَتِ الْحُبُّ لَا مَحَالَةَ, that the love for that person will be intense if all of those qualities, all of these reasons are found in just one. And he gives the example, كما لو كان للإنسان ولد جميل الصورة, that if a man, for instance, had a beautiful son, ولد جميل جميل الصورة, حسن الخلق, very good conduct, beautiful conduct, كامل العلم, and he had lots of knowledge of deen, everything, all the knowledge, وحسن التدبير, and he was very good, efficient organizer of himself and his life. محسنٌ إلى الخلق, and he was generous to people, and ومحسنٌ إلى الوالد, and he was kind to his father. Such a person, such a son, will be beloved. كان محبوباً وتكون قوة الحب بعد اجتماع هذه الخصال بحسب قوة هذه الخلال في نفسها. So the love will be intense, and the intensity of the love, of the combining of all these love, of all these characteristics in one person, will be according to the level of those characteristics in that person. If the person, the level of the characteristics would determine the level of the love. So now he's saying that so كان الحب لا محالة في أعلى الدرجات, that the love will be in high degrees. It will enter into very high degrees. فلنبين الآن, so now let us speak. Let us explain. فلنبين الآن أن هذه الأسباب كلها لا يتصور, that all of these reasons, these causes, these reasons for love, are not imaginable in anyone else. Now, لا يتصور كمالها, in its full, complete, perfect existence, واجتماعها, and coming all at once, إلا في حق الله تعالى, except in relation to Allah alone. All of these characteristics that we've read about and spoke about and are pondering, all of these in their fullest form is in Allah alone, only in Allah. فَلَا يَسْتَحِقُّ الْمَحَبَّةُ فَلَا يَسْتَحِقُّ الْمَحَبَّةَ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So the having that, you will see that the most deserving of all in for of our love is Allah, because He is most deserving of it. There's no one more deserving of this love like Allah. Okay, what do we do in time? Yes. Okay, so we will explain those in more detail, inshallah, this, that part of it next week, inshallah. Now, it is the beginning of the month of Sha'ban is upon us, and I think it's important that we bear in mind a few things. First, is the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, used to make a dua. Some people raise questions about this hadith, but it is the dua of the Salihin. If you don't want to accept that that this is a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is the dua of the Salihin, of the pious people. Allahumma barik lana fi rajabina wa sha'banina wa barik lana fi rajab sha'ban wa balighna ramadan, aw barik lana fi sha'ban fi rajab sha'ban wa barik lana fi ramadan. That, oh Allah, give us barakah. And barakah is also another term that there's no equivalent in Arabic for it, in English, sorry. There's no equivalent in English for it. So we should start using the word barakah and recognizing barakah is the thing that leads, that where little will serve a lot, and something that is ultimately khair, that is ultimately beneficial. Because we can have lots of good things in this world and they turn out to be trouble in the akhirah. But barakah is something that gives, that is eternally good. So barakah, where you can have a little amount of something and it can last you it can suffice you for an abundance of it. So that is barakah. So what is the barakah that we need for these months? In the month of Sha'ban that's now approaching us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do one thing which was noticeable, and the Sahaba asked him, you know, they say, he said to Lima, قلت يا رسول الله, the Sahaba saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قلت يا رسول الله لما أراك تصوم شهر لم أراك تصوم من شهر من الشهور ما تصوم شعبان, that I did not see you fast as much as you fast in Sha'ban, other than Ramadan of course, but in the month of Ramadan, in the month of Sha'ban. So fasting regularly in the month of Sha'ban is a sunnah, and this is a confirmed sunnah. So don't allow yourself to be be taken up by the discussions about what is bid'ah and what is not bid'ah in this is confirmed. And of course, in the three ayyam al-bayd, the 13, 14, 15, these are the nights when the moon is out, the bright nights, though those days are for fasting, and then you can fast as many days as you're able to in this month. That's the second thing. The third thing is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Rasulullah, in a hadith reported by Ibn Majah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَطَّلِعُ لَيْلَةَ النِّصْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ, that in the 15th night of Sha'ban, that Allah looks at His entire creation. فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ, and He forgives His entire creation, except two. إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ لِمُشَاحٍ. The mushrik, you know what is shirk, and of course, shirk, we should avoid all forms of shirk. Shirk as in riya, you should avoid the little shirk. The big shirk is... inshallah, none of us will commit that, but the little shirk, we should also try to avoid that. That Allah forgives all His creatures except the people who are involved in two things. One is shirk, and the other is al-mushahin, the one who carries malice and hatred and ill will in his heart towards people. So clearing your heart in this month in preparation for the season of reward. The season of reward, the season of bounty, the season of spiritual upliftment is coming in Ramadan. So use this time now to clear your heart, to, you know, like you have spring cleaning before the coming of the harvest. Well, the harvest is coming in Ramadan, so clear your heart with problems that you may have in your heart, with people or difficulties you may have about one thing or another, with ill will towards people or hatred or any type of malice. Examine yourself and say, look, okay, well, I'm not going to get involved in any more of that. And ask forgiveness and clear it. Okay, what's the time? Yeah. Okay, now let us pray. And as most of you would know, that grandfather of one of our students in this class passed away last night. And so please make intention for this dua to be especially for him, with mercies from Allah, and that his relatives who are left behind are granted sabr and fortitude to continue in his good footsteps, to continue to populate his book of good deeds, inshallah. Okay. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma anta rabbuna la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtana wa nahnu ibaduk, wa nahnu ala ahdika wa wa'dika ma istata'na. Na'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'na wa nabu'u laka bidhunubina. Fughfir lana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins, and forgive us for our negligence of our sins. Arina al-haqqa haqqa, warzuqna ittiba'a, wa arina al-batila batilan, warzuqna ijtinaba. Oh Allah, show us the truth as it should be, and grant us the will to follow it, and show us falsehood as it is, and grant us the power to avoid it. Oh Allah, you love to forgive, so forgive us. Ya Allah, we are your slaves. We are your slaves, and we have no other to turn to. Oh Allah, open our hearts to your guidance and lead us on the path towards true love. Oh Allah, Aliyah's grandfather returned to you last night. And so we beg of you to accept him into your mercy and forgive his sins. Oh Allah, we ask you to fill his grave with light. Allahumma wassiq qabrahu madd al-basar. Oh Allah, extend his grave as far as the eye can see. Waftah alayhi nawafidha min al-jannati, and open unto his grave windows from Jannah. Wa anzil alayhi rayhan al-jannati wa na'im al-jannati wa afrush lahu min al-jannati wa albishu min al-jannati. Oh Allah, pour upon him the fragrance of Jannah, and spread for him the spreading of Jannah, and clothe him in the clothes of Jannah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, anis wahshatahu fi qabrihi, Ya Rabbi Ya Kareem. Oh Allah, grant him company that will be pleasing to him in his grave and on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, grant his family sabr, grant his family strength, grant his family fortitude to benefit from their father's own good deeds, and to bring them all together again in mercy on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive us and forgive them, and forgive all those who have preceded us towards you. Oh Allah, we are your servants, forgive us. Allahumma aqsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayn ma'asik, wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna bihi jannatak, ومن اليقين ما تهون بها علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا وجعله الوارث منا وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم اللهم واغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين آمين بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.